I want to look at John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And if you want to turn there with me again, it's John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. We're going to look at the question that Jesus asked someone, do you want to get well? And it is a telling question. It is a question for, I think, you and me as well. Do you want to get well? And our theme here this morning is just simply this, that Jesus offers us new life and healing, but that offer must be wed with our willingness to embrace what he's offering us. Now, before we begin, I don't want you to think that for example, if you have a chronic illness, I'm suggesting that Jesus is automatically going to heal miraculously, immediately, any person. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting something. I think the reason that this parable here is here for us is for much broader application than just physical healing. It may happen at times. God in his grace chooses to heal miraculously. But there are other things that God is at work doing in you and me that this story well illustrates. Do you want to get well? So let's read together. It's up here on the front. You'll see the little picture illustrates what was going on. Let's read together. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colonnades. There, from what I understand in terms of the Sheep Gate and this pool, that it's actually one big long pool, but it's divided by a wall. On one end, they actually bring the sheep in, water them, and wash them. The wall divides the two, and then on the other side was this particular pool. Here we go again. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he'd been there in the condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" What a fabulous question. Why in the world? Of course I want to get well. Or do I? We have our reasons. We have our reasons for not wanting to get well in our lives. One could be that we're comfortable with what's going on. And a new way of living would actually represent such a break from where we are that it's extremely uncomfortable for us. Well, let's continue. Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now that's an interesting thing there, when the pool is stirred. The reason that all of these people were around this pool is that there was a belief that angels would come down and stir the water, and whoever got into the water first could experience a miraculous healing. That was the idea. Depicted in this picture here, it's a little difficult to see, but the picture is of an angel coming down to stir the water and someone, the invalid, perhaps being held back like this. It's a dramatic, wonderful picture. And then, here we go again, then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. Very interesting. We'll look at what happens after the word Sabbath next week. But in this passage, then, we have the story of Christ bringing a remarkable healing to a person who'd been there for 38 years. That is a long time to anyone. It's an even longer time to a person who has been sick. And it's even longer still to have this hope, this belief that if I could just get into that pool, I might be healed as well, but not having either the physical capacities or even the friends to be able to get into the water. To the man at the pool of Bethesda, time must have seemed unbearable. Every day was the same, cold, drab, hopeless. It wasn't until Jesus came down to the pool, and then everything changed. The idea first, and this I think brings us to the point for the question, do you want to be healed? It brings you and me, it brought him to a point of consenting. Consenting, embracing what Jesus was offering him at the moment. He offered his reasons, didn't he? He offered his reasons. Well, you can see why I'm here. I can't get into the water. The issue is consenting to Christ's astounding offer of wholeness. After 38 years, do you want to get well? I don't know what he was thinking at the time, but I wonder if he was thinking, where have you been all my life? If you're offering this to me now, where were you 38 years ago? We have no idea what happened to the young person at that point. Could have been an accident, an incident. He could have been born that way. We don't know. But there's probably that question, where were you when I needed you? And that's sometimes the question you and I are asking when we're in the middle of difficulty and circumstances. I loved the affirmation that we had this morning through the worship team, that God renews things in us. He makes wonderful things out of dust. He makes beautiful things out of dust. My eyes turned to this little focal point right over here, and I thought, yeah, pretty much carbon-based, and at one time it was probably all dust in one form or another. And yet we have something beautiful, something that God wants to do in and through you and me. But we have to consent to Christ's astounding offer of wholeness and then embrace Christ's adequacy for our wholeness. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool, and when the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. We have, as he did, very well-worn reasons for being as we are. And there have been times, I'm sure if you're like me, there have been things that have been tough to budge in my life, and I gave up on it. I just decided that was how things were going to be. And yet, at times, the Holy Spirit comes by and nudges us and says, things could be different if you'd let me. You're at a point, you're at a turning point here, and if you would just let me work in your life, you could march either away from this or toward this, if you just let me. We have our well-worn reasons for being as we are, but yet, legitimate as they may be, we have to answer the question, do I want to get well or better? Do I want to move on? Do I want to move on into real life? We have to embrace, we have to consent to embrace Christ's adequacy for our weaknesses. We have to begin to say, when we consent, I will no longer offer excuses. If there is something new that you want to do in me, then I'm willing, if you're willing. And then to look at Christ's gift of wholeness. This is focusing on the gift that Christ hands to you and me. Then Christ said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." That must have been an amazing thing for him to hear. "I've laid here for 38 years. One picture of this event, this biblical event, it's a beautiful picture, shows by one of the colonnades the person, this lame person, underneath kind of a makeshift tent. I thought that was an interesting perspective. You know, there are lots of people who, if they thought this were possible, that they could be healed, they would actually set up housekeeping right there. Why go anyplace else? It takes too much effort. I could live here. So it was a very interesting thing that he camped out there, in at least in that artist's view. And here he is saying to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Standing up. For the first time in 38 years, can you imagine standing up, trying to stand up in those words? What a thing, what an event. I'd have been cheering him all the way up. It had been so cool to watch this miracle of healing. It's a turning point. People tell us in terms of growth, organizations or organisms, that very often it works on a curve. There's growth like this and then begins to top out and then decline. And they talk about a point of inflection where growth, either in persons or organizations, can change. It's that point where things turn like this and you decide something. You commit to something. You commit to a new reality, and things change in terms of that curve. It's a point of inflection. Where is the point of decision? It's at the point of inflection. It's when we commit. That is where we begin to, perhaps as this person did, experience the healing that Jesus has for you and me, whatever it may be. It could be deep within the recesses of our being. It could be those moments of self-doubt, of self-worth. It could be those moments when a behavior or a patterned way of living is forsaken and a new way is embraced. The point of inflection, that point where we change, where we move. Very interesting thing in biology, how growing things seem to turn toward life. I don't know if you've ever watched some of the wonderful photography on some of the nature films, but they'll show flowers and how they'll just go like this. They'll follow the light. I saw a very interesting picture that just kind of stopped me on the trail. I was up at Trillium Lake enjoying a little hike up there, and the picture was this. This was a tree that obviously turned toward the light. Something had happened, some kind of injury happened to this tree. You can see on the first bend over here on the left that there's a barked up place, a place that it had experienced some kind of injury, and who knows what that injury was. But it caused the thing to bend this way, and yet as living things, as growing things can and must do, it made an adjustment. It made an adjustment and it turned toward life. In a sense, this was this tree's point of inflection. It grew instead of decay. Now, right in front of that tree was another illustration. Here is a stump, a piece of tree, the tree that stopped growing. The tree that stopped growing. It was rotted in the inside. So the first tree was the tree that refused to stop growing, and the stump is the tree that did stop growing. There are times when we operate under, I think, a misconception that if we just stay the same, there will be no difference. That things will be okay as they are if we just keep doing the same thing. But that's typically not true. It's not true of growing things. If we continue to grow, then there are possibilities. But for living organisms, when they stop growing, they're doing what? I'm not talking about the kind of seasonal things where something grows and then for a season it rests and consolidates its growth. I'm talking about it stopping growing. It's dying. Did you know that's true of you and me? That's true of you and me as persons. We can wither inside and become difficult, crotchety people. We can, what's that? Hold it, I resemble that remark. It's true spiritually. If you think you can just be doing what you're doing right now, and you're not moving, and you're not growing, it's not going to get better. Going with Christ is always a life-giving thing. It's energizing. So here we are with this tree, an example of it, the tree that refused to stop growing and the tree that did. It met its point of inflection and it continued to grow. And the question is, are you turning toward life? All that Christ is offering you. Could it be today that in ways, some way, he's offering you an opportunity to make a turn toward life? I have a couple of questions if we might accept Jesus as our healer in things like this. One of the things about growth is that, biblically speaking, I think, the Bible is very, very practical. It's not pie in the sky. It comes to where we live. If the fruit of the Spirit, which gives love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, doesn't apply to real-life circumstances, then I don't understand the fruit of the Spirit. So here are some points of inflection. For example, when I harbor animosity in my life towards something, someone, there I've topped in terms of my growth and my capacities if I harbor animosity, and I could be in decline. What's my inflection point? Animosity, I used alliterations here, so think with me. Some of you like word things, alliteration. From animosity, I may, in responding to Christ as my healer, have an animosity to annihilate. Okay? What about an appreciation? Another point or inflection growth, maybe there's an appreciation that I've been thinking I should say to somebody, I really want to thank you for such and such. And we just haven't taken the time to do it. The Holy Spirit keeps just tapping us on the shoulder and saying, okay, you know, you remember? Talk to you about that. So maybe there's an appreciation to address. Now, you can see A. What about an attitude to, can you complete the sentence? An attitude to adapt, okay? Can you see how that'd be a point of inflection? My attitude is here, okay? A Bible to, what? guide us, okay?
Be read.
Be read. And a Bible to be read. Great. What about a bow to... To bless? Okay. A behavior to... Implement? Got a B word? A behavior to bend? Okay. I came up with break. A companion to C word. Comfort. Sure. To comfort. Can you see that that would be an inflection point? It means that you commit. It means that you take time. Okay, what about a criticism to conquer? If I have a critical spirit. What was the other one?
Cut.
Okay. I used the word crush. Okay. A deception to D word?
Dissipate.
Great. A funk to
flee.
Can you see that would be an inflection point? You're in a funk. Everybody else around you is getting in a bad mood because of what's going on inside you. You're in a funk. It's an inflection point. It's a change point. A funk to forsake. What was that again?
Flee.
A gift to... Great. A hurt to... Heal. A habit to... H word. What?
Halt.
An ignorance to... I didn't hear it. I'm stuck, right? How about illuminate? An improvement to implement. An obstacle to
overcome.
An uncertainty to U word. These are hard. When you get down into the U's, maybe utilize. Maybe this is a time in your uncertainty, you could utilize it as a point of growth. A yearning to yield. Okay, we've done all the vowels, and we've done many of the consonants, almost half the alphabet. I just, for those of you who love word things, finish it up. Can you see that all of these things are inflection points? They're places that we could change. We could actually move on to grow. If you ever get discouraged about growing, which many do, here's a word for you, kind of a final word. No matter how slow you go, you are still lapping everyone on the couch. Of course. Some of the things that we're going to work on take time. And it's just hard work. It just is. It's going to take time. If it's a habit, what is science telling us about creating a new habit?
21 days.
At least. Okay? So there's a realistic view of our growth. If it really matters, but let me suggest this, that what Christ may want to heal in you and me, those things for which we have our answers for staying the same, staying stuck, those are things that probably, if given to God, will become high leverage issues that once mastered, Christ can create strength and beauty and growth in our lives. One of the things that I appreciate about some of my contact with our youth is that they are working on self-mastery. I'm so impressed with them. I'm awed by their desire to follow hard after Christ. And I celebrate you. Would you join me in prayer as our worship team comes forward? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look at what your Son provides for us. Your Son truly does all things well. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he brought good things to people, life. He breathed life. We know that you have begun your good work in us. I pray that you would help us to embrace that, to not believe the lie that just staying the same is good enough, but that you want us to move on and deeper. Illumine the path in front of us. We will follow.